We want to look at the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Now, this is not a Mother's Day sermon. I don't know how to do those. But I do want to put the honoring of our mothers in a broader, I hope, biblical context as we look at the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And one of the Reformation documents that gives an explanation of that is the Heidelberg Catechism. And I invite you to turn in the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 891. The Westminster Larger and Westminster Shorter Catechisms also give an explanation on this commandment. And they are very much in sync, as most Reformation confessions are. And Lord's Day 39 asks the question, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? And the answer is that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. Now we turn to the Word of God, to Romans chapter 13. Paul writing to the Romans, the Roman Christians. Of course, Rome was where the center of the Roman Empire's power resided. And we read Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. This truly is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior announced his ministry in Galilee with words like these. The time has come, the kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe the gospel. And by saying that the kingdom of God has drawn near, Jesus reminds us of this truth, that even when the human race fell into sin and rebelled against God's rule, nevertheless, God never gave up. In fact, he turns his face towards us and through his own Son reasserts in a very real way the sovereign dominion of God over all of life. That's good news. And especially that's been very comforting to God's people in this past year in which we have been very uncertain because of what medical people, what governing authorities have said on how to react to a pandemic, over how those protocols have been implemented in many of our states and communities. In all of that, God continues to rule. In all of that, God continues to be sovereign through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we learn from Scripture that all of the commandments are a kind of constitution, a kind of, it is a document in which life in the kingdom of God is spelled out. God is over all. There is only one God who is to be worshipped, for he is a spirit, and worshipped not according to our own imagination, but according to his word alone. His day is to be honored. His name is to be treated as holy. And then when we come to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, it's a kind of pivot in which, in acknowledging God as our father, he then directs our attention to those who are our parents, our mothers and our fathers. But in looking at all the Ten Commandments and understanding how they function as a kind of constitution, if I may borrow that term, a kind of document that lays out what life is, should be like for us Christians who have been freed from the guilt of sin and who have received the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, our confession this morning is once again at the beginning of a week on this, the Lord's Day, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. According to the order of Melchizedek, he is the King Priest whose kingdom shall never pass away, because he has an indestructible life. The kingdom of Jesus Christ shall never pass away. And so, in living in that kingdom, we learn that all of life is a series of relationships. A series of relationships between you and other people, and between you and the various institutions of life. In the Westminster Catechism, it speaks of superiors and inferiors, and of equals, and the kind of duties that all of them have one to another, the kind of sins that sometimes occur between superiors, inferiors, and equals. But I want to minister God's word to us, as we have that here in Romans 13. And the summary of that, as provided by Heidelberg Catechism 39, Lord's Day 39, under the theme, honor God's rule on earth. Honor God's rule on this earth. And first of all, we'll notice how God has established or instituted his rule. Secondly, that we may fully expect human failings. That shouldn't surprise us. And then thirdly, what therefore does it mean that we should give, can give, must give godly honor to his rule? An insight that was shared by Martin Luther, John Calvin, and the authors of the catechisms, not just Heidelberg, but certainly Westminster as well, was that the fifth commandment was speaking basically to all human institutions of authority and submission. Not just to the family or to parents, strictly speaking. You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself, indeed. And the rest of the commandments presuppose that. But love begins where? Love begins in the seedbed of the human race, the seedbed of love, the family. And when love begins at home and the proper lines of authority and submission to authority are understood and appropriated and grasped and followed, then the rest of society is blessed and can prosper. Love begins in the home and with the family. And if I may make one simple observation, in the limited amount of traveling that I've done throughout this world, whenever I go to countries or to cultures where the family is still basically intact, you can walk dimly lit streets at night and you are probably safe. In those places in the world where the family has eroded and broken down, you can hardly walk the streets in broad daylight. Think of some of our cities. Where the family is strong, the streets are largely safe. Where the family has collapsed, the streets are not safe. The fifth commandment states, honor your father and your mother. And the catechisms of the Reformation said, and that means not simply honor that we give to our parents, but to all those who are in authority over us. How can they do that? To understand that, brothers and sisters, we have to go back to the very beginning, the beginning of human history. God spoke his word and the world came into being. And that world continues under his word. For his word is law, is the rule. God holds all rule as his right by being creator. And in the beginning, God created the family. He created a perfect man, Adam. He created from his side, from his rib, the woman, brought her to him. And they are now bone of bone, flesh of flesh. They were the parents of the human race. And with that children, they become the first family in human history. In the beginning, God exercised his rule on earth through these parents, through this family. But there's more going on here than what meets the eye. God had said to the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and have dominion over all things, over all creatures. And thus the man, the father and the mother of all, headed up the beginning stages of all development of culture. Think of it. The very first family in human history was the church. It was the school. It was the business. It was everything, humanly speaking, wrapped up in one family. But as history moves on, these separate institutions begin to develop and take on their own identity and character. The government, the state, the church, the businesses, the schools, and all the rest emerge from that parent institution, the family. And the various rules and relationships between superiors, inferiors, and equals emerges out of that. But although there is that emergence of separate spheres in society as history moves on, there's one thing that doesn't change. Authority remains. And it is the authority of office. It doesn't change. Nor does the requirement of submission to those who are in authority change. The fifth commandment is addressed, first of all, to anyone who is in any position of submission to others who are in authority. That's why the fifth commandment is not, first of all, focused upon good parenting. Of course, parents are required by God's word to do well in their office. But it's directed to those who are under parents, who are under anyone who is in authority in life. Because what is more difficult? Exercising power or submitting to those in power? That is more difficult. But whoever can learn godly obedience understands what submission to God is like. And all of this starts in the home. We honor God's rule by showing honor. First, to our parents, and then to all who are in authority over us. For God is pleased to rule and govern us by these institutions, but whatever God is pleased to use, whatever God creates, we can be very certain of this fact, that the devil is out to undermine it, to attack it, yes, to destroy it. And so the devil is hard at work to break these institutions down. Human failings are evident. Whatever God creates, the devil seeks to destruct and demolish. The family is no exception. Sinful human authority resents authority, especially God's authority, and that's why some of the first resentments against authority come in the home. We see that God's perfect rule is not carried out in this world. It's therefore striking that Paul should tell the Roman Christians where the arrogance, the power, and the degeneracy of human nature could be seen in the rule of the Caesars. He tells the Roman Christians to submit to rulers because they have a responsibility to carry and exercise the sword as God's servants. They come under judgment as well. We see how governments sometimes promote aggression, but they call it self-defense. Our brothers and sisters in Myanmar are once again suffering because the military believes that an election was stolen. The opposition that won 80% of the vote is sometimes to be blamed. And now the military is going to save the country from that exploitation. And yes, our brothers and sisters are suffering as the government kills those opponents. We see businesses who will abuse workers at times or even misuse the resources in an unstewardly way, but they will say, business is business. We can see how schools will kick God out, kick His word out, but they call it being neutral and follow the myth of neutrality. We sometimes hear of parents who will abuse their children, but they'll call it discipline. You can see all around us these human failings in life, and we become very upset and angered that those who are in authority and have a responsibility abuse that authority. And it can make us very, very angry. And then it becomes not very easy to hear what Paul says about rulers in Romans 13. It's not easy then to hear the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. It's not easy to hear what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. But brothers and sisters, it is exactly there that we must go in order to obey this commandment. It is for the Lord's sake that we submit. You see, human rulers, you think of the rulers in China, North Korea, many, many other countries, cannot tolerate the fact that the Christians in their midst follow Jesus Christ first and foremost at all times. We submit to the laws, not because these human rulers say it. We submit because Jesus tells us to submit. And people who are drunk on authority cannot handle that. No, they demand absolute obedience. No other authorities in the way. When Caesar says, I am Lord, he means that. But we believe Jesus is Lord. We confess that he is Lord. Because he purchased us, body and soul, with his own blood. We are slaves to no man. And so we will obey because Jesus says so. That's what Peter means. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. You do not submit because human institutions are perfect. You submit for the Lord's sake. God rules and develops creation through these various offices or centers of authority which he has placed in his creation. We honor that rule. But again, remember that we are the citizens of a kingdom that shall not pass away, a heavenly commonwealth that shall not vanish. It will not corrode. It will not become corrupt. Jesus rules perfectly. He purchased you with his blood on Good Friday. You are his. He conquered death by his glorious resurrection. He ascended as king, king priest forever, and rules this world at the Father's right hand. He waits there and governs there, waiting for all his enemies to become the footstool of his feet. Psalm 110. And we are the citizens of that kingdom. We are free people. You know, and this commandment comes to expression perfectly even in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 2, he's 12 years old. He stays behind in the temple, and he's engaged in conversation. And then the scripture says, and then he submitted himself to his parents and went back to Nazareth. Boys and girls, Jesus did not have perfect parents. The text openly says they don't understand what he's saying, but he submitted to them. He told his disciples to take to heart what the scribes say, because they sit in Moses' seat. They had a teaching authority. Jesus said even to Caesar, to Pilate, that you would have no authority to do anything unless God had first given it to you. And Jesus, as a son of Mary from the cross, sees his mother standing there. And he takes responsibility for her love and care. When he commits Mary to the love and care of the disciple, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He was honoring his own mother even as he's suffering on the cross for us. With all of their weaknesses and shortcomings, parents and all people in authority are exercising an office that God has given to them. And it is to that office and to the person in that office that we submit Jesus as Lord. But just before he ascended, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And as Lord, Jesus has made you free. Freedom in Christ doesn't become license to abuse that authority, to do whatever we want. Freedom in Jesus Christ is now the opportunity, the occasion to do what is right, to submit to all in authority with proper obedience to their good instruction and leadership. This is not easy to do. This is not easy to do. As I said, this is not a sermon directed towards correct parenting, but it's directed to anyone who is in any relationship in which someone is over them. Now, my mother passed away last year, but if God should allow me to live to be 99, as she was at her time of death, I'm still under the fifth commandment. Any one of us here this morning who has parents are under the fifth commandment, whether those parents are living or they've passed away. But this is not always easy. It is when the relationship between us and mom and dad was good, but that's not always true. And as people get older, sometimes the patterns of thought and attitude and feelings become a little more entrenched. Let's take a glance quickly at the family. Broadly speaking, we go through three stages. When we're very young, we want their approval. Even if they don't have time for us, we want mom and dad to like that picture we drew, to like what we did here or there. We want that. And then adolescence comes, and our desire to be grown up comes out awkwardly at times. I want to stay out with my friends tonight. I want to go to that party. The legitimate desire to be adult comes out awkwardly, and sometimes we clash with mom and dad. But then we enter adulthood, hopefully. And then we begin to understand mom and dad knew much more, much better than I realized in my earlier years. And as children become adults, we are required to interact with them as adults. And yet something that never changes, no matter what age we get, is that relationship to those in authority. We honor our father and our mother. And you know, someone might say, but you know, Pastor Vanderhart, that's just too hard. You don't know my situation. I got good grades, and one time I got a grade a little lower, and I got chewed out. My parents didn't have time for me. A number of years ago, I heard a tape in which the speaker talked about those relationships, and he worked with the phrase, dear old mom. And you know, sometimes when her birthday or Father's Day or what have you comes around, our society puts the pressure on to do or say things that are just not comfortable for us. But the speaker went on to say, to give honor is not a matter of feelings. And as I reflected upon what the speaker did in his explanation of that, he was right. Because if the fifth commandment is calling upon us to conjure up feelings that are not there, then it would be difficult. No, to honor is to respect. It's to obey. It's to pray for. It's to bear with their failings. We cannot change other people, including our parents. By the grace of God, we work on ourselves. We accept the past with its feelings, but then we go on to grow in maturity in Christ. I may not have the most comfortable feelings about this or that relationship, and yet I still can do what God, by His grace, I can do what He calls me to do. And brothers and sisters, this is why this commandment of the Lord is needed in this world now more than ever. If it is not followed, our cities will burn, our schools will collapse, our homes will be eroded. In the kingdom of God, He gives us these commandments, not as a burden, but to open our eyes to see how life should be. For when we follow God's rule, then blessings abound where Jesus reigns. Jesus is Savior, right? Jesus is Lord. Amen? But if that's the case, then notice where He has placed offices of authority in the government, the church, in school, at the job, and especially at home. The destruction of the home, the destruction of the family, is an act of revolution. This is why Christians are anti-revolutionary, in the sense that they believe all authority is from God and not man. This spirit of revolution is what made the French Revolution, as one example, such a matter of great blood and destruction. Because in saying no king, they were saying we will have no God, and we will create society according to our own wisdom and imagination. The Russian Revolution was another attempt at the same. But when man is king, blood flows. When man tries to create society according to his own imagination, people suffer. One Christian writer put it this way: we don't obey authorities because they do what is proper, nor even because they are devout, pious. We obey them because of their office. Their office. The President of the United States might be the greatest living saint or a son of the devil, but he is respected because of the office that he holds. Your teachers might be wrong at times, but you honor and submit to them because God rules you through them in the matter of education. Your boss may not always be fair, but that doesn't mean we destroy the place where we work. Your mom and dad might seem to be unreasonable at times, but you submit to them with the obedience to which they are due. You love, honor, and are faithful to them, even with their failings. The elders these days in churches sometimes have difficult situations to face, dealing with facts and situations that are not known commonly. We all do well to pray for them and to receive their ministry with respect. The Word of God is not saying that the authorities are perfect. Paul doesn't tell the Romans in Romans 13, you have perfect rulers. He doesn't say that. And when we see tyranny, and when we see the office abused or neglected, something is done contrary to the Word of God, we resist and obey God, for we may not be ordered to do things that are contrary to God's word. The apostles alerted their authorities to that. We submit to God rather than to man. We appeal to those magistrates to defend us from the tyranny of the greater. We pray that those kinds of things don't happen. And we work to see to it that godly rulers, teachers, police, etc., etc., are placed over us. But brothers and sisters, remember that to honor someone is to lift them up. And submission means to put ourselves down, and that is very, very hard. We pray for the grace of God to understand the wisdom that God has placed in this commandment, and then for the grace to let it rule, let it ring true in our own lives. Think of the implications of what this would mean. An orderly society. Because in orderliness, things begin to thrive. In chaos, nothing goes well. That's the devil's tool, chaos. But in this orderliness, Jesus Christ paves a way for the beautiful development of his creation. For God's sake, we preach, honor authority, and let it begin at home. For those closest neighbors of ours, honor your father and your mother. This is God's will for us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that your word spells out life in its various relationships. We sense the burden of responsibility that we have when we are given a variety of authority relationships. But, Father, we also see the challenge that we have in learning how to submit, especially in situations that are very difficult, sticky, uncomfortable. And we pray, gracious God, for the grace that we need for that, that you forgive us, that you encourage us, that you remind us of how your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived this commandment. He was born of a woman, Mary, but he was born under the law, that he might deliver us from the penalty of the law, that the curse might be lifted, and it was lifted at Calvary. And so now, gracious God, inscribe this commandment too upon the tablets of our hearts as we honor those godly women in our lives, our mothers, grandmothers, and other godly women in the church who by their life have shown us examples, by their words they have taught us so many things, who have sacrificed many, many hours that we might be healthy, that we might be fed, that we might be properly clothed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love that has been extended to us by those in authority over us, our mothers and our fathers. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will put this commandment deep in our own hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.